Hi, I'm Aishwarya, the producer of Rumors. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Your love and support means a lot and has taken Rumors to new heights. I'm the head of originals at Bound. In addition to our own hit podcasts, we also help brands and storytellers create high-quality, knowledgeable, and stellar podcasts with our end-to-end podcast and video production services. So if you want to get started on your podcasting journey, or even analyze if a podcast is the right step for you, reach out to me at aishwarya@boundindia.com. That's A-I-S-H-W-A-R-Y-A @boundindia.com. Or you can reach out to us at Bound India on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Bound. For hundreds of years, the British ruled over the Indian subcontinent with an iron fist. This concentration of power seems to have had an unforeseen side effect that continues even decades after the colonies became independent nations. You see, some English men and women who died on Indian soil during colonial times didn't really die. They live on in our consciousness, but not as historical figures, legends, or even ghosts and spirits. They live on as local gods. This is Rumors. I am Chandrima Das. Join me as I shine a light on the darkest corners of India, where fact and fiction combine into magical and haunting stories. The state of Himachal Pradesh sits on the western Himalayas, with a mountainous landscape and extensive river systems. The hills of Himachal are dotted with sleepy towns and hamlets, packaged in dark green foliage. And some of these towns are home to strange and curious stories from the past. Take the cantonment town of Dagshai. During the peak of the Mughal Empire, criminals were branded with a mark on their foreheads and sent here to be executed. The mark was called Dageshahi or Royal Stain. Time and tongues corrupted Dageshahi to Dagshai and marked the hamlet with its present-day name. In 1847, the East India Company arrived and secured 5 villages from the Maharaja of Patiala, free of cost. These included Dagshai. The British developed Dagshai into a military cantonment and, coincidentally, also built a jail here, which soon became notorious for its barbaric treatment of rebels against the Raj. When the British finally left India, the jail was closed and was eventually turned into a museum. For the last 50 years, visitors from all over India have been flocking to Dagshai. Are they thrill seekers drawn to the town's violent past? No. These people come to Dagshai to seek the blessings of an English goddess. In 1909, among the British officers in Dagshai was a doctor-nurse couple, Mary Western, a nursing officer, and her husband, Major George Western, a surgeon in the Royal Army Medical Corps. Though they had been married for 17 years, the couple was childless. They had adopted Maud, Mary's brother's daughter, to fill the void. But the desire to have their own biological child remains strong. One day, an Indian belief entered their lives. The couple met a wandering mystic, a Sadhu Baba, at Dakshai's Charing Cross. Unlike other British officers, the couple greeted him with respect. They didn't outright confess the void in their lives to him, but somehow, the Baba could sense their desire for a child. He offered Mary an amulet with a promise that she would soon conceive. And the Baba's blessings bore fruit. Mary and George were expecting a child. The couple was overjoyed. But the pregnancy soon turned difficult. Mary went into early labor in the 8th month of her term. A very risky thing, considering that medical science wasn't as advanced at the time. In December 1909, Mary Western and her unborn baby died in childbirth. Major George Western became a broken man. He loved his wife deeply and had been looking forward to raising a healthy, happy child with her. George directed his grief into building an exquisite grave marker for his dead wife and unborn child. He spared no expense and even brought in the marble for the marker all the way from England. The result was a striking piece of art, the statue of a lady reclining with a child in her arms as an angel watched over them. Haunted by the death of his wife, Major George Western then left Dakshai. But the blessing that was attached to Mary's story in life continued to hold on to her grave in death. Rumors about the stunning grave began to circulate in the region. The first rumors simply said that Mary's grave brought good luck to whoever visited it. But over time, the story morphed to something more. People began to believe that her grave had the power to bless childless couples with a baby. Now, once they gain power, stories, beliefs, and gods rarely remain dormant. They change to suit the needs and desires of their believers. And Mary's story was evolving. During the British Raj, Indians hadn't been allowed inside the graveyard. But now, after independence, there was no such rule. The crowds poured in, and the grave became known throughout Himachal Pradesh as Mem Ki Kabar, or the English woman's grave. After a while, the simple act of viewing Mary Weston's grave was no longer enough. People wanted more, and the marble from the grave marker became the relic they wanted. Local women and the wives of soldiers posted in the cantonment town took pieces with them to bring luck. Businesses were set up around the story of the magical grave, selling pieces of white marble to eager customers by mail order. Over decades, the marble from the grave marker was steadily chipped away. Soon, another convenient addition was made to the legend. Now, Mary didn't just bless couples with any child. It would specifically be a male child. In a patriarchal society, this belief really hit the mark. Followers multiplied. Desperate women and their families thronged the grave. The once beautiful marble statue was completely vandalized by people wanting a baby boy. Very little of the original structure remained. Then, something changed. People began to sense a presence in the cemetery. Some even reported seeing Mary's ghost wandering around the grave. Perhaps Mary's spirit was defending her grave from being destroyed? Who knows? In 2017, a Dakshai resident, Dr. Anand Sethi, finally intervened. He raised funds to restore the grave and hired a craftsman from Kolkata for the marble work. A wire mesh was put up to protect the marble statue. He then located Major George Weston's descendants who lived in the UK. Now, George had never remarried, but Dr. Sethi found the Westerns' adopted daughter Maud's grandchildren. They came all the way to India for the unveiling of their ancestor, Mary Western's restored grave. If the grave restoration and wire mesh were intended to break people's belief in their English goddess, it failed. Childless couples continue to make a pilgrimage to the spot even today. They no longer break off pieces of the grave, but seek Mary's blessings from a distance. A bizarre phenomena, right? Well, Mary Rebecca Western is not alone. There are other dead British officers who reached a similar elevated status and found local devotees in India. But unlike the kind Mary Western, these other Gora gods are symbols of violence. In the early 1800s, the Kingdom of Travancore, covering the southern parts of Kerala and Tamil Nadu, had an alliance with the British East India Company. The company maintained a military force near Travancore to defend the kingdom in case foreign powers like Tipu Sultan attacked. And the kingdom paid them for this service. But a dispute broke out over payments, and politics added fuel to the fire. War erupted in Travancore and Cochin, and in December 1808, the British garrison was attacked by thousands of militia and the state forces of Travancore. The British promptly sent in reinforcements from their base in Madras. But it wasn't easy for the men to get through the hills and walls defending Travancore. A fierce, quick battle took place at the Aramboli mountain pass. The company regiment pushed their way through and entered Travancore. The Travancore kingdom fell to the British. Now, according to British historical accounts, there were just 3 casualties in the Battle of Aramboli Pass. If there were any deserters or mortally wounded, these men were not named. After all, even historians have biases and like to present a prettier picture for their side. But we know now that deserters and the wounded certainly existed. For it is one of these unnamed British soldiers on whom this story is centered. It is likely that the man was called Captain Powell. He had been hit by a musket ball during the Battle of Aramboli Pass. The weapon caused extreme injuries, ripped up muscles, broken bones, arteries torn open. Injured and dying, Powell walked from the battle and staggered across the hills. He must have walked in that condition for at least 2 days. But Powell never made it to a British garrison. He collapsed outside the town of Tirunelveli. As he lay dying, Powell was picked up by local villagers from the Shanar community. They must have tried to help the injured man as best as they could. But Powell was too far gone. The Shanars watched as the Englishman bled profusely and writhed in pain. Finally, Captain Powell breathed his last. The villagers opened the dead man's pouch to check his identity. They were surprised to find brandy and cigars inside. He must have really enjoyed these things in life, they thought. Now, while the Shanars did not bury their dead, they were respectful. They gave the soldier a death rite that, to the best of their knowledge, matched his culture. They buried the Christian Englishman. After the burial, local custom took over. At the time, the Shanars believed that a violent death led to the creation of a demon, Ope. And if anyone was likely to turn into a demon, it was this guy. So they built a shrine for Powell, or Pule Sahib, as he came to be known. The shrine includes a small burial stone and obelisks. The Shanars believe that demons, or Pe, float in the air. The obelisks were provided so that Pule's demon could rest and chill for a bit if he wanted to. Now, the more violent the death, the more powerful the demon. And Pule's demon was deemed so powerful that it was included in the highest class of Shanar demons. So respected and feared is he, that the place where he rests now is known by his name as Polepettai. Demons have to be quieted with a regular schedule of dancing, singing and animal sacrifices. Otherwise, you run the risk of diseases, famine and death. The rituals at Polepettai continue to this day, though in somewhat diluted form. They begin when the crowd assembles around the shrines, followed by the beating of drums. Priests dance to the music, locked in a trance. This is because the pace supposedly take possession of the priests during this ritual. For the other ordinary pay, chickens, sheep and goats are slaughtered. But for Captain Powell, these are not enough. For him, the villagers sacrifice an ox or a buffalo as a thoughtful hat tip to the beef-eating Englishman. Finally, Pulepe is presented with alcohol and cheroots to compensate for the brandy and cigars they found in his pouch 200 years ago. We often see ghost stories emerge out of violent deaths and unfulfilled lives. It's a pattern. But what was so special about these two British people that turned them into gods instead? Was it simply because they were white? British officers were, for all practical purposes, the controllers of Indians' faiths during colonial times. With a little exaggeration and a well-manufactured law, we can totally see how that may translate to god-like status. But it is just as likely that the colour of their skin played no role. Many formal religions and tribal belief systems in South Asia acknowledge the presence of the divine in all things, whether nature, animals, or even humans. Mary Western and Captain Powell arrived on the subcontinent to colonize it. But in death, it is the subcontinent that has absorbed their stories into its folklore. Their graves became shrines, which then turned into places of worship. People set up transactions with these deities. In Dakshai, something is taken from the shrine, and for Pulepe, something is offered to him. These Gora gods have ended up serving the needs of their devotees. Whether it's the patriarchy-driven desire for a baby boy, or the villagers' simple wish to keep disease and death at bay. But why do people continue to believe in them, even today? Perhaps it is their desperation for divine intervention. Or the sheer strength of their belief gives the deity a placebo effect. Once godlike status has been achieved, it sticks around. Even a century or two later, desire and fear keep belief alive. So, do gods exist? Do ghosts exist? We don't know for sure. But for India's Gora gods, there remains no distinction between the spirit and the spiritual. Thank you for listening to Rumors, where fact and fiction combine into magical and haunting stories. I'm Chandrima Das, collector and teller of dark tales, and the creator of this podcast in collaboration with Bound, a company that helps you grow through stories. Produced by Aishwarya Zawalgekar and sound designed by Aditya Arya. Join me every Friday on this quest into the lesser-known side of the subcontinent. Subscribe, rate and review for new episodes every week. Sleep safe tonight. Who knows what awaits in the dark?